forgiveness and karma, rebuke and repentance. Jesus taught to first rebuke and then to forgive people who repent, not people who don't repent. At the time, the norm was for people to impose vengeance, penalty, on anyone who harmed them. Giving up the desire to punish, to see offenders suffer, was the first step in his revolutionary teaching on forgiveness. He did not say there was no need for restoration. He did not say we should invite more harm or fail to defend ourselves. He also prescribed personal transformation by telling wrongdoers to sin no more. Rebuking the harmdoer is the first step. It is crucial to inform people that they did harm. If no one tells them, people often have the illusion that their behavior didn't really hurt anybody. Thus, they easily repeat it without conscience, remorse, or repentance. The need for restoration is common sense. Wholeness and balance need to be restored to the extent possible. Hebrew law additionally prescribed specific penalties for various offenses, such as stoning to death for adultery by a woman, but not by a man for some reason. Forgiving the penalty, the outer social punishment, of people who repent is the next step taught by our forgiving revolutionary. His directive was to forgive people who repent. This means people who feel genuinely sorry for what they have done. When remorse is heartfelt, people want to never do it again. They make a choice deep inside. They want to make amends, to remedy the damage they caused. And they also want to see that they don't do it again. What happens when we excuse people who don't repent from restoration or from a just penalty? Usually they repeat the harmful behavior toward us or someone else, often in bigger ways, either out of reluctance to make effort or change, or out of malice. People who don't repent and are not punished continue their harmful ways. Forgiving harmdoers who don't repent appears to them to be weakness. When malice sees weakness, it has an instinct to attack again and again, perhaps for fun or to see how far it can go. Malice is natural in some animals that preferentially attack a wounded animal and take advantage of its weakness, but it is not humane. It is actually not compassionate at all to forgive anyone from restoration or penalty unless the person has already repented. It does not help the harmdoer in the least. Instead, it sets the person back and encourages becoming entrenched in more harmful behavior. It is unkind, unloving, and actually harmful. When someone has done harm and feels no remorse, it is foolish to allow the harmdoer the same liberties as before. We should not trust the person with that liberty, for it results in temptation to misuse it again. When a society forgives people who don't repent, the society itself becomes weaker. Harm and malice increase and are actually rewarded. Self-control decreases, as people who are tempted see that others get away with murder, so they don't bother making an effort to do good. Some people, and actually some belief systems, condone taking advantage of people who forgive readily. It is crucial to recognize when one is dealing with a person who would take advantage of big-heartedness. Love and goodness require both truth and wisdom. When true repentance has not occurred, it is foolish and harmful to excuse harmdoers from restoration or penalty. Most people repent as soon as they realize they've hurt someone, but some people don't until they are faced with a scary, painful punishment. Some don't repent even after enduring punishment. They require special treatment.